This next piece may sound a little bit offbeat because it's a little bit drier around here. I actually did this for another part of Texas, but it fits everywhere. So I decided, well, we're going to throw it in here. And it has to do with the rights, I guess we're going to call it the waterway rights within the state of Texas. This portion of the show, I'm talking about something a little bit different, but it is something that since I'm organic matters out in nature and really enjoy our world. Something that's come up in my life probably two or three times, especially since I lived here in Texas. And it has to do with the navigation and the rights of the use of navigable rivers in Texas. Organization that has some property on a river and claims the river, basically. And if you say, well, no, it's a navigable river by law, and we know that, and that's what I'm going to do is quote the law to you. I don't do quoting very much. And also quote and cite some cases that have been taken, some right here in this part of the country. And I might add, this is mostly, I do shows that don't just come to this part of the country. These particular laws and things are statewide. So even though that may not necessarily have a river behind your house that's navigable, there is one in your area, and this is going to apply to it. Here I should at least mention that I've been on both sides of this particular problem. I oversaw for a decade or so a piece of property that had a quarter of a mile of navigable river right adjacent to it. And then I've been on the other side trying to go fishing and trying to go down a legal path, which would be the right-of-way of a bridge, for instance, and go fishing and had people try to run me off and tell them we own the river. Well, when you get to find out, they don't own the river in most cases. Now, there are streams that are owned. Okay, there's no doubt about that. But once it's been found to be, and I'm going to actually show you when the laws were made and where and what year, as navigable, they no longer own that river. And there are even some old, without beating this to death, there's even some old grants that said they owned the bed of the river also, but in 1929, and I'll get to it, that was all canceled too. They can't do that if it's navigable. Now, there are privately held streams in this state, and most of those, the guy owns the both sides and the bed, and you're not supposed to be in there. But even a lot of those, there's a law that came along that nobody seems to recognize called a perennial stream, and that's got a third definition. We're not going to get into that. We're going to get into real navigable waters in the state of Texas. The general use of the name gradient boundary is what comes into play in the state of Texas. A little further into this, I'll even give you the exact reason that it had to be established. It had nothing to do with individuals. It had everything to do with a big fight between the states of Texas and Oklahoma. But we're going to accept what they did after many, many court trials, and we're going to just talk about gradient boundaries and the measure of the stream width for navigability here in the state. In a sentence, under a law dating as far back as 1837, a stream is navigable so far as it retains an average width of 30 feet from its mouth up. For this measurement, the entire bed is to be included in the width, not just the area covered by flowing water. The bed extends all the way between what we call the fast land banks. These are the banks which separate the stream bed from the adjacent upland, also called gradient boundary. Segments having a width of less than 30 feet do not defeat the stream's navigability by statute, so long as the stream's width maintains the average of 30 feet or more. Under this court decision, basically in one sentence, the public has their rights along a navigable stream in this state. And here's the actual definition of this stream bed that's navigable. The bed of a stream that is that portion of its soil which is alternatively covered and left bare, as there may be an increase or decrease in the supply of water, and which is adequate to contain it at its average and mean stage during the entire year. So sort of in lay terms, folks, the banks of a navigable river or stream are the waters washed in relatively permanent elevations and acclivities at the outer lines of the riverbed which separate the bed from the adjacent upland property. Again, what I have to call layman's terms because I'm not a lawyer. If the state owns the stream bed, quote, meaning that the stream is navigable, unquote, the public has the right to use the bed and banks, and the adjacent landowner may not prevent persons from doing so. Here I'm going to quote directly from the papers from the court as to what gradient boundary line actually is. The gradient boundary line, okay, is defined as the line located midway between the lower level of the flowing after that just reaches the cut bank and the higher level just at the top of the bank. This definition is kind of complicated, but all it means is halfway up the cut bank is public property. Anything above that as it approaches the upland, the adjacent upland, becomes private ownership. But in many places like this part of the river I'm talking about, this thing's 50 or more than that, 50 yards wide. This is definitely public property, although they keep people running people off of it like they think they own it. On the other side of that coin, I had to go through the exact opposite. Right below that property, I happened to run 800 acres of a ranch for a decade, more or less. And the owners occasionally gave me trouble because someone would be up on our sandbar. And they'd say, well, go run them off there on our property. Well, no. The sandbar was part of the banks of the river well within the cut bank where we were because there were really, really deep cut banks. So I finally had to convince myself and them that those folks were allowed to stop their canoe there. Those folks were allowed to stop and fish there. Technically, although it gets to be a real gray area, they're allowed to stop and hunt there. But shooting across somebody's property is another, we got too much talk about to do that right now in this particular finding. And here I should inject one more little bill that was established way back in 1929. For lack of a better name, it's called the Small Bill. The Small Bill declared that it did not impair the rights of the general public in the state in the waters and the streams. Thus, along a navigable stream, even if the landowner's deed includes the bed and taxes are being paid on that bed, the public retains its right to use it as a navigable stream. The only other thing the Small Bill did that we don't much care about is it also retained the state's rights to the sand and gravel on the river. You're not supposed to be able to take that away, folks. Just so you'll know, and because I've been so interested in the rivers, period, all my life, here's another finding in a different year, but by the Supreme Court of Texas. The gradient boundary concept was developed in a U.S. Supreme Court case involving a boundary between Oklahoma and Texas along the south bank of the Red River. After considering the terms of an 1819 treaty between the United States and Spain, goes all the way back to that, the Supreme Court concluded. And what it concluded in a definition is the conclusion that the boundary, called the gradient boundary, intended to is on and along the bank and not at the low water mark or any point within the riverbed. It has full confirmation and available historical knowledge that it is considered the gradient boundary to literally be halfway between the bottom of the riverbed and the top of the cut bank where the water would just flow away from the river. And this is all, I got sites on all it if you want it, Texas v. Oklahoma, it's Oklahoma versus Texas is the name of it. I've fished streams and rivers well over 50 years, folks, actually over 60 years. And I do see some problems, having been not the landowner, but the operator of a property where people would come without permission, because they didn't need permission once we learned what the navigable river law was. They do make a mess, but the laws that cover that have to do with some, you can get up to $4,000 fine, folks, in the state of Texas for leaving litter along, well, anywhere, but especially along a riverbank. So that's what that law's for. And I would make me unhappy when I'd go down there and they'd leave either fires burning, which it is against the law, or not clean their mess up. I do understand that side of the law, but it doesn't make it any less legal for them to be down there. And my problem is I have this particular one, but I've been all up and down this river. In fact, I've been hunting since then for different areas to get in and out, just looking at the legalities of it. And they've made every effort they can to make the navigable river not easy to get to by putting no parking signs somewhere blocks on each side of some of these rivers where it would have been perfectly safe to park. And we used it in the past. I came across areas where there was 30 feet on each side of a paved road, leaving plenty of room. There is a law in the state of Texas. You can't park on a thruway, a highway, or a road, especially on a bridge. But there's also a law that says that you can go fishing and put your car in a reasonable place that's safe for the passing traffic. And one last thing, since it happens to be right here in our area, let me read you a one paragraph sentence that happened right, basically, well, certainly within the sound of this radio station. A lawsuit was brought by landowners who claimed ownership of the bed of the Upper Guadalupe River. They contended that their titles were impaired when the Texas Water Rights Commission found that the stream is navigable by statute. It is a navigable river even up there. The appeals court rejected the landowners' contentions after that, so it is still considered navigable, even though, boy, when you go up there, you can get into some real battles if you want to north of, well, you know where the North and South Fork come together. So bear that in mind. By the gray area that this gentleman I'm dealing with is, he either can't understand what the gradient boundary is, or he wants the gradient boundary to go a lot further down the river, down to the river's edge. Matter of fact, I even had a county commissioner in Kendall County less than 2 weeks ago tell me, well, if you step out of the river, out of your canoe, you're trespassing. Well, I don't know who hired this guy, or who, I'm not going to give you which one he is, because I'm not trying to start a battle, but he's wrong. That's what got me into looking at all these laws. If it's a navigable river, you're allowed to get out. If it's a navigable river within cut banks, you stop there and have lunch if you want to, or get out and go fishing. Now, you can't get on private property. And the other thing you can't do, and then I agree with this 100%, having owned some property in my life, you can't drive across somebody's private property to go into a public river or lake. It's illegal. You're trespassing. Okay, they own that property. What they don't own is the property down into the river. And they seem to have somewhere gotten the idea in this state that if the river's coming through them, they own it. Well, they don't. They own down to the cut bank. And that cut bank could be 3 feet from the water if it was steep enough, or it could be 50 yards from the water if there's a steep cut bank on the other side and it's slowly going up a slope going into their property till it gets to the cut bank on that side. So it's not an easy thing to look at, but most of the time it's visual. You don't have to guess. Anyway, just a thought on going to the river. Plan on going this weekend. It's Memorial Day. Why not? Have a good weekend. And with all this COVID-19 stuff going on, folks, there's nothing better to do than get out in the open. It's pretty safe for everybody, and it's going to be one heck of a pretty weekend.